Welcome back, everybody, on our new
full-length podcast.
Yeah, we're going to be coming at you for an iTunes now.
We'll be on iTunes.
You're going to be finding us way easier. Definitely subscribe over. If you haven't subscribed yet on our Twitter account, feel free to tag us there. And now you can find us on iTunes. Welcome along for the ride.
Yay, Lesbo and the Bean on iTunes.
Yep. Big so steps. You can look at all of our archives and catch up. But over the last weekend, real quick, I went 4-0 on my picks. I picked two underdogs that might have turned into favorites at the last second. Jason Knight and Masvidal, I feel like, came through. And then Ngannou and... who was the main event? It is eluding me. Oh, Shevchenko. One with a submission that nobody saw coming. How did you do again? I think you were 2-2.
I believe so. I think I changed my tap after we went to... I changed tonight, and then I think back to Bruce Leroy. I think my tap might have had Knight on it. I can't remember, but I know I was Bruce Leroy on air.
Oh, yeah, I remember on air. It was Bruce Leroy.
And I was Cowboy all day.
Yep, and that was a great fight, and it's a fight.
But I actually, it can happen to anyone. We talked about it a little off air, and Cowboy, that I think that he's never going to be a champion.
It's hard for him. Who does he fight next? Really, it's Robbie Lawler. Sorry, that one got me. Woo. So there's Robbie Lawler, Carlos Condit, Nick or Nate Diaz. Jorge Masvidal just said on MMA Junkie that he will not be fighting Lawler next because they're homeboys, and only if it was for a championship would he fight Robbie Lawler. He's known him too long. That's respectable. That's admirable. But Jorge Masvidal's ready to fight away.
He said he's ready to fight Maya, but Maya turned down the fight.
Maya did turn down the fight, and I believe we were talking about this before. I think that Magny's the fight, and he was just saying on MMA Junkie that he doesn't like Magny. Magny's been a shit talker, and he's ready to beat up Magny right now, and I think Magny is a 7th or 6th kind of placeholder right now in that division. So it would be a fight up for Masvidal, and I think that's a winnable fight for him, honestly.
I think it's a good fight. And I think that's okay.
What I absolutely loved about it is when he was on MMA Junkie with Gorgeous George and Ghost, he was saying, "Hey guys, I'll catch you guys later. I'm about to go into wrestling practice again right now." What have I been saying from the get-go? You get your wrestling base up the props, and he's not staying. He's not happy with his wrestling base. He keeps getting better at it, which opens the door for all of these other Russian guys that are coming in with Ultra Wrestling. All of a sudden, you got someone who can shut you down.
Well, I've also asked you off air, how do you beat a Damian Maya? And your answer to me was...
wrestling. So. American-style wrestling, wrestling in general. That's how you kill jiu-jitsu.
So, I think that is definitely interesting. So, Masvidal doing this extra wrestling, you always said that was his weakest point. So, him doing that now is awesome. And if that's the way you beat... he's playing the long game.
Yes, I agree.
I think Masvidal. He said
5 years. He said he had 5 more years of fighting left. And this is a guy who's been fighting for street fights.
I wasn't a fan of Masvidal. I wasn't a not fan. I didn't dislike him at all. I just I could care less about him going into the fight. And I think this was the smartest thing of the UFC to put these guys on the same card, because it seems like the people that would like Cowboy might not necessarily like Masvidal because they like different style of fighters or different kinds of fighters.
Yeah.
And so it seems like both those guys are so hard in the ring and the fight that fans carried over both ways. So it makes me sad that I don't think Cowboy's ever going to wear a belt. And I said on our last podcast that I predicted that he'd wear the belt in 2017. Uh-oh. And it was a realization that I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think that all he has really left is super fights. And that doesn't necessarily mean a belt, but it'll be headlining Fox cards and stuff like that because he's a fan favorite. But that run to get to the title might be a little too far out of his grasp now. And he's fought the best of the best. He's had a stellar
more
career.
More fights than anyone in a year. Like, how can you take
him
that
Neil
kind
Magny,
of beating?
Yeah. Him and Neil Magny are up there for as far as number of fights in a year.
And Matt Brown hurt. Like you were saying going into it, Cowboy gets hurt every fight. How many times can your body take that into your early 30s, mid-30s, that you can get that kind of hurt?
And he was doing that in his 18, 19 years old. He's been doing that.
Yeah.
And it catches up to you sooner or later. Hopefully he just has money fights from this on out, and hopefully it's only a couple more. I've loved Donald Cerrone's career, but we can see a new breed is coming in.
Yeah, I don't. I think he can save himself. He is the caliber of not just fighter but fame that he can save for money fights, save for card headliners, save his body for a paycheck. He has the BMF ranch. I think he gets some great fighters going out of it.
He can start to either, if he doesn't want to be a promoter, he can just be a gym runner and stuff, like an American Top Team, hold a stable of fighters, be at every camp, get a percentage, and he already has a setup. He's already paid for it and is still renovating it himself. He still has money. Dive in before you don't have money and you have to keep fighting just to pay the bills, because then you're done. Then you can't have this option, and right now you can. Yeah. Great night. I thought the main card was fun. I enjoyed
the Ngannou real fast. We both think anyone he's going to fight.
I called that uppercut. Yeah. I called it uppercut finish, right? And that's exactly what happened.
And the night, I think that the four that you picked were definitely not, everyone didn't have them.
Shevchenko was pretty solid. Yeah, Shevchenko. Solid.
No, 60-40 was Shevchenko. Ngannou was solid. That was where most people had Ngannou. I think it was a 60-40 wash between Knight and
I like the pick that we
Leroy,
did.
Leroy, but I think the Cowboy Masvidal, I think that's where you picked the underdog.
I think that's
where most people did have Cowboy.
It was a close fight. It was a coin flip. What I do like, though, if we do have heavy favorites that we're picking anyways, I like that maybe we'll get specific and be like, all right, how do we really expect this to figure out? And it makes it a little bit more interesting. It makes it more
and
fun.
And the Shevchenko, she is my favorite fighter in the UFC.
Yeah.
I loved that I sold her to people before the fight. I was talking to people, and a few people that watched the fight found her charming.
Realized.
Well, not just her fight. They were like, oh, maybe she's not as good as Chaney said. But I now, with my education, she was so composed. Yeah. She wasn't getting hit with all the knees that she was throwing. And she was really timed out with picking her takedowns. But the dance afterward, how cute and charming she was. I really just think that the UFC is underestimating her fan base right now, because she isn't outspoken, loud, bitchy.
I listened to an interview post in Latin America somewhere, and I listened to it, and her Spanish is so much better than her English. She can translate over to the Latin fan base and just keep working on her English. She speaks Russian as well and Portuguese on top of Spanish. Like, she's coming at you from all angles. She is a star that's in the rough, that's slowly weeding her way out, and I think people are understanding that. But
you this is such a girl thing. Like, I told you that Holly Holmes needs to dye her eyebrows a little darker and she'd be so much more attractive. And then we saw her a few times that she must have had a makeup artist put dark stuff in her eyes. And not that you fucking care, but all the girls, when we talk about it, she looks so much more attractive. The thing with Shevchenko, cute. I think she has a killer body. I think she has a great personality. Obviously, all the stuff that I ever say about looks on here, because I'm going to say it for guys too sometimes. Mm-hmm. I obviously mean they're a good fighter. I'm saying if they want to take it to the next level of fame, to get more sponsors and things like that, Shevchenko needs bangs, and I was looking at her style and the fact that she speaks Spanish. Uh-huh. If she went full rockabilly, her style already kind of fits it. So if she went full rockabilly, imagine the Mexican guy fans for her.
She speaks Spanish well.
That's what I mean.
I was surprised.
Imagine the red lipstick on her, red heels,
blonde hair,
bleached blonde hair. Yes,
she is. Mexican girls be dying that hair blonde for a reason.
Yeah, so I just feel like she should just go full rockabilly with it. Her look, like, cuff the jeans with the red heels, maybe a wife beater, the shirt.
She already has the tattoos.
Yeah, she already has the gun tat. So I just feel like if I were her, I would go for the Latin America audience.
You turned me on to her YouTube page with her sister.
Everyone should watch it. It's so cute.
It is wonderful.
Muay Thai Sisters.
It is a great YouTube page. You're going to see high level technique. Her sister is also a master, but she's
just chosen. Her sister will be in the UFC.
Is she training?
Her sister will be.
MMA at all? Because she, I know that
she's, I'm sure, just with Shevchenko, but I know she's, the 10 times she just won 10 times.
Reigning champ.
Yeah,
I thought that I had heard that she was happy with being a Muay Thai champ and be just that on its own, but I could be wrong. And hey, that caliber of fighter, why not? We need that level of competition. It makes the game way more fun and the weekends way better.
And I'll stand by what I said on the last podcast. Shevchenko will be the champion. I think she will.
Next fight, she's got Amanda Nunes. That was already called out.
I'm not worried about her taking the punch that everyone was scared of.
We've already seen it happen for 3 rounds.
I'm not worried about it.
So. Already seen it happen.
I feel like Amanda Nunes, Shevchenko's taken the best of Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes hasn't seen the best of Shevchenko. And so that's where I think just Shevchenko. I can't have enough to say. Hashtag Team Bullet. we can go on. Yeah, I don't have any. Pena's next fight, I don't know what she does next. I don't know what I care. I don't know what she does.
Did I call the horrible takedowns?
Sloppy.
The horrible takedowns that I keep seeing on tape, and they're like, oh, she's a wrestler. Well, she has good top control, and she's wrestled, but any wrestler will be like, that's a horrible takedown. And her ground game was really exposed. I don't think a lot of people saw the ground game of Shevchenko coming out. And
I don't think she's... It was 2009 or 2006. That's her last submission.
Yeah.
In the ring.
Years. Almost yeah, 7 years.
So that's pretty... People... Like, but you were saying the same thing about Nagano. Once people saw him submit, all of a sudden it's a whole different monster.
With, this is happening with JJ too. People are forgetting how good JJ really is on the ground. She's been put on the ground a few times and done exactly what she needed to do to get the fight back in standing to win the fights. You don't remember him because it's an insignificant, but people have asked her, like, where are you on your belt system? She's like, hey, I want to keep
who's
something
secret.
Who's
the karate hottie fighting next? Who's,
Watterson?
Yeah. Rose?
It might be Rose. That's a good fight.
That's a good fight. I want to see Gaudelia Watterson. That's the most interesting fight to me because Gaudelia, to me, has the best ground in women's 115, but I think that Watterson might have it. So it's like an interesting...
This is actually...
It's the wrestler versus what you were just talking about. It's that battle.
Totally. And that's actually a perfect transition point to go over into this weekend's fight card. It's on an FS1. It's starting with the prelims at 6 o'clock. In the 115 division, on the main card, we're just going to go over the main card here. We have actually Jessica Andrade, who moved down from 135, with returning Angela Hill, who has had 3 fights in Invicta since being cut from losing to Rose Namajunas. And prior to that, she had lost to, I think, Valerie Letourneau type of a fighter. Both of Angela Hill's losses have been decision. All the rest of her wins have been knockouts in Invicta and even for the championship. That's why she got picked back up. And Josh, this is her second fight, I believe, at 115. Maybe third fight at 115. I believe her KO over Penne and Calderwood. I think Calderwood moved down. Or is Calderwood always been 135? Calderwood beat Letourneau as well.
I think this is will be her second fight at 115. But see, I think Penne might be 135.
Yeah, I think it might be her second fight at 115. Yeah, Penne
went down.
No, she's out.
Penne
she's,
went down.
Penne's out. She fought JJ and got her nose busted up. That was Penne.
Yeah.
So that's 115. So this is Andrade's second fight, third fight at 115.
Fourth. Third.
Yeah.
God damn.
So Angela Hill, they're both strikers. Andrade, I'd give the ground game to. But Angela Hill is a traditional Muay Thai striker who has supposedly said that she's gotten away from just the striking and become a much more MMA-based fighter. She's fighting out of Alliance MMA. She's got a bunch of wonderful training partners, and I've watched those Invicta fights, and she's moving way better than she ever was, not as stiff, and her takedown defense has been on point, and that was her biggest weakness. Once she got to the ground, she couldn't withstand the girls' jiu-jitsu games and they would submit her. But now that they can't get her to the ground or she's getting up off of the ground, changes the game because she's a dynamic striker.
And her UFC fights, her losses, her decision UFC fights were tough fights, and it was right after the Tough House. And so I feel like the caliber of fighter, when they first came out of that Tough House, everything was Carla Esparza, Carla Esparza, Carla Esparza, Carla Esparza. JJ came out of nowhere, if you remember that whole transition of the 115 to all of a sudden the super dominant female champion. But Angela Hill, I feel like she had weird matches in that house. And she's been in Invicta. She got the belt in Invicta. She was the champion there for a bit, right? She didn't lose it. She's coming over as the champion of Invicta, right?
She's coming over as a champion, but I believe that she might have only defended once, if she defended at all.
Yeah.
I
Gosh, you know, I really... Andrade, when I first started watching, she disappointed me, but then she has just really... She's just looked like a beast her last 2 fights. Just really awesome. Just and standing, punching, hard throws.
And she's TKO'd women.
Yes, hard throws.
And I was about to say, Angela Hill is one of the few women that has TKO power. So I actually think that this is highly likely.
It should not be that Angela Hill is a +3 moderate underdog. It should be a little closer.
That's what I think. I think that this is actually more of a coin flip. Meh, I could see it being like
I think a lot of people are looking at the record on here.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they're forgetting about the Invicta fights.
Andrade is a step up from the competition that Hill's been fighting at Invicta, but still.
Andrade is in the best level of her game. She looks leaps and bounds better, and she's so young.
Yeah.
So young.
But
Hill.
The height difference. There's going to be a discrepancy with Hill being taller for the division. 5'3 to 5'2? Never mind. I thought Angela Hill, she's just skinny.
She looks tall.
Because she's so skinny.
If she can take Andrade's punch, it'll go to decision. You know, Angela Hill is a more of a fan favorite of mine. I follow her on Twitter. She really makes me laugh. I just think Andrade is in her fucking...
In it. She's knocking out women as well.
She's in her run. Yeah, there's something really special. And she just looked... Like most improved. She'd be in my top five most improved fighters from one fight to the next. Like, she just looked really good. I gotta go with Andrade on this.
This isn't an easy welcome back for Angela Hill by
any means. I think Angela Hill, if she's a significant this big of an underdog for the DK lines, though, I think she's gonna throw enough punches to be worth the points.
Later on in the evening, I was gonna get into my value play, and I was actually gonna swing with the decision for Angela Hill. I think that Angela Hill's takedown defense is gonna be the key factor, and the movement that I saw her... fight again against lower competition was still very positive, and it was showing me that she was still learning, and she's at a camp where she can learn a lot. So I'm going decision Angela Hill. We'll see what the weigh-ins brings, but I do like her price. She's, I think, one of the cheapest, if not the cheapest fighter, and I just don't see that if people see the takedown and a submission, and I don't know.
No, I think I agree with you. It's going to be a stand-in punching. I think Andrade is so stoked on her punching right now. Yeah. And why wouldn't she be? She looks great in there. And she has... Her punches, they're different than... she sits into it. They're different than JJ's.
Yeah.
She sits into it more like that boxing heavy style. And so I don't know. I think she's looking really good. I think it's going to go to decision. And I do think it's going to be... We're not going to see takedowns unless somebody gets hurt. Otherwise, they're going to stand and throw, I think.
I think it's going to be a striking decision kickboxing match it's going to turn into.
So because I do Angela think, Hill chooses it. I think Angela Hill, if she's cheap, it's a good
value play.
It's
going to be
value play.
Value
play for DK.
Yep. Moving
Hashtag
on.
Value play. DK.
Moving on to the heavyweight division. This is Anthony Hamilton versus newcomer to the UFC. Well, he's not really. Marcel Fortuna had a fight on the UFC's... tough show and lost via decision to Corey Hendricks. Anthony Hamilton just lost to Ngannou off of a Kimura. He wasn't doing bad in the fight. He wasn't getting hit horribly bad, but that Kimura, he shot in on Ngannou. Ngannou jumped on that Kimura and finished the fight. Hamilton is win one, lose one. He can beat the bottom of the barrel, but he can't do anything good against any good guys. He's where he needs to be. He's at Jackson Winklejohn. He's a specimen as an athlete, big man, ultra athletic, hard punches.
You know what?
Punches.
He's been disappointing.
He goes up and down.
He's disappointing since I've been around since his first match in the UFC. I didn't know that much about him coming in. He's just been a big disappointment since coming in.
I would say that I've had more hype on him and lost money on him more than one every time I pick against
him. You picked him against Ngannou.
No, I didn't. I picked Ngannou.
Hamilton versus Ngannou? I thought you picked Hamilton.
No. I picked Ngannou.
I thought he was your underdog pick on that. Like, that you thought he was going to out-wrestle him.
Oh, no. I think it was Henrique. Ngannou's first fight is the first wrestler that
I thought it was
Ngannou.
This guy. I thought you were really hot on him.
No, I do like Hamilton because he shows athletic prowess where he can beat guys with just his athleticism, but he will leave his hands down and get head kicked by Nikolov Krylov, who is overrated, always bet against him, and I've done really well in that.
Hamilton, this is the problem with him. He's too old to get any better.
But it's a heavyweight division. If there's a division that you can be old in, it's the heavyweight
division.
Yeah,
like he can be fighting Bigfoot Silva and like those Roy guys.
Nelson.
But I just, I don't know. I had him on my card. I had Anthony Hamilton winning. But after just thinking about it again, I'm going to go Fortuna knockout round one. I think Anthony Hamilton has a weak-ass chin.
Damn, that's a slight underdog.
Yeah.
This is a slight underdog as of right now.
Fortuna.
Fortune favors the brave. Hashtag fortune favors the brave. I'm actually going Hamilton TKO round one. He goes win one, lose one, win one, lose one. He's on a win one. He's at the right camp. His head, once it all clicks and he can keep his hands up. Because if he throws punches, people go down. People always get hurt off his punches. I think Fortuna's going to
learn from this. Oh, wait. They're fighting in heavyweight?
Yeah, they're fighting at heavyweight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's a heavyweight
fight. I'm going to Hamilton. I'm changing it.
Oh.
Because Fortuna's a light heavyweight fighter.
Yeah. And Hamilton cuts to make 265.
And Fortuna
and is an athlete.
A light heavyweight fighter.
Yeah. It was. Now he's a heavyweight. He's going to weigh in
this
probably
at 240. This is his first fight at heavyweight.
Yeah, I would say probably. He's just coming off of the show.
Yeah, I always go with the bigger person when it's the other person's.
I believe Hamilton.
So Hamilton, going with Hamilton.
Maybe he doesn't cut for 265. Maybe he weighs around the 250-something, 240 range. But either way, I've seen him move. He's an athlete. He could have potentially
been only going with Hamilton because he's a significantly larger man.
Yeah, that's naturally. All right, moving on.
I'll probably stay away from that fight.
I'm going to play Hamilton heavy. I'm just letting you know that's going to be on my DK. But he's expensive on DK. Moving on to a 205-pound fight between Ovin St. Preux, OSP, versus Volkan Ezdemir. Ezdemir, I believe he's debuting in the UFC. Ovin St. Preux is coming off a two-loss streak. One to John Jones, where he broke his forearm in a five-round fight. And then he just lost a TKO to Jimmy Manuwa. Jimmy Manuwa looked great. This up-and-comer Volkan guy. Don't know much about him. Haven't really done my research. He's from Switzerland, which doesn't have the biggest scene in the world. It might be a tune-up fight for OSP. I can't really speak on this. I'm going to end up passing. But I would more than likely, what it looks like to me is they're trying to give OSP a TKO to have him get it back on that winning train. He's not a local. I haven't seen much. This guy's decisioning people. He TKO'd 2 years, 4 months ago, he TKO'd Paca Estevan, who was a 2-3 fighter. And then he just unanimous
Where
decisions.
Are they fighting? Light heavyweight? So this guy's cutting. He's going down in weight?
They're fighting at 205, yeah. So he's a heavyweight that's moving down. OSP's a pure athlete, lacking in technique.
I would like to think they're giving OSP a toss-up here
as well, right?
That's
what it looks like.
You know, maybe fans like him, and
he fought a former champion 2 fights ago.
Yeah, but on short notice, right?
Either way, they would never give that option to this Volkan guy. They wouldn't say, all right, you're going to get in there with John Jones.
He's not even ranked.
Exactly. This is his debut fight.
I know.
He's on a main card.
So they must be throwing him up.
I think they're throwing him a bone.
Yeah.
I think they're throwing him a bone, and I think that it's going to be TKO round one.
I like the gym. One of my favorite gyms, that's our home state gym, Black Zillions.
So what's going on with them, though, the doors are literally closed at Black
Zillions.
They have
a new gym.
Everyone has moved over already.
They already have a new gym.
Yeah.
It's just in a smaller...
Some went to one gym, some went to another. Most of them went to one gym. One other gym, though, right?
I thought they opened doors on just a smaller place.
But I believe like people like Robbie Lawler and there was a couple other guys that chose to go other places instead of go to the new gym.
Yeah,
most of the team did go.
Yeah, I was just looking. I know Usman stayed and Luque stayed. Those are my two favorite guys.
The ones that you're watching specifically.
I like Usman and Luque.
Those are the name of that gym? I can't think off the top of my head.
Their new one?
Yeah, their new one. Because it is a name of something, but... either way, stay with those guys because those are good guys that are practicing with each other and they're not messing up their training sessions. They're already working around it.
It's a young guy.
Interesting guy coming out of that gym.
I
definitely be cautious with it, but I'm going to lean more on the OSP TKO round.
You're going
one,
with experience.
Exactly. It is. This guy's had 9 fights, X amount of fights in Strikeforce and UFC. Where this other guy's only fought regional pros, which is there, we've always seen a big step up.
Yeah, just look at the difference between Bellator and UFC.
Angela Hill moving down and being knocking everyone out to coming back and getting decisions in the UFC.
Yeah.
You can see it in Bellator all day. All right, moving on to the next fight. This is a sneaky fight. I feel like this might be the fight of the night. Abel Trujillo against James Vick at 155 pounds. I feel like James Vick is really, really tall for the weight class. Abel Trujillo is average, and Trujillo is a bit older at 33. James Vick at 29. James Vick being 6'3". The reach discrepancy is 76-inch reach for James Vick to a 70-inch reach to Abel Trujillo, 6-inch reach advantage. That does play a role for this fight because James Vick was a Golden Gloves boxer before he came into MMA. He's always been a boxer. He got into his submissions. He's upset some really good guys. I've liked James Vick for a long time. I do think I picked Dariush against him, but I haven't picked many guys against James Vick. Abel Trujillo's on a bit of a run, more of a wrestler with ungodly power. I feel like that's what you know Trujillo for, is power. His loss in his last four in his is against Tony Ferguson. He also lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov. And other than that, he's been able to beat every other person he's been in up against. I would say that his gas tank is his biggest weakness, always has been. He can throw bombs that will knock your head off in the third round, but he's throwing those bombs from his hips. He's throwing them over the top. If you're a technical guy who can use technique, you'll be able to smother those. James Vick is a grinder, good boxer, underrated wrestling, and submissions, because he's so long, he's been able to do submission chokes that a lot of other people haven't been able to, and he just... It happens in wrestling and other sports, that length. John Jones, people are like, God, do you know how long that guy's legs are? He can get me in submissions from a foot away. I think James Vick's in that category. Really fun fight. James Vick can be knocked out at any point, but I am going to side James Vick decision, if not maybe leaning more towards a submission.
I think I am going to go with Trujillo on this. I think I'm just going to stay with the Black Zillions.
And Trujillo is a big knockout favorite. We're on Tapology here, and it's a near even. It's a coin flip. Minus 105 to minus 115 for James Vick, 105 for Abel Trujillo. This is as close as it gets. This is going to be a firefight, or it's going to be a ground game.
I imagine Trujillo to be really expensive on the DK, isn't he?
I think it's like an 8-1, 8-1.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
it's a coin flip. I mean, 105 to 115, both minus. It's minus money on both.
37 to 31 rank. People,
yeah, it's a really, really fun fight.
Not that the ranks in the UFC
matter at all. Yeah. Fun fight. Yeah. Moving on. I've been touting this fighter.
This is your favorite girl.
Oh, yeah.
This is your Shevchenko,
Yes.
How much I love the Bullet. You've been talking about Grasso.
Yep.
You hear that, Grasso? Reach out. Reach out.
Alexis Grasso from Michoacan. Ay! Thank you. She has great fundamental wrestling. Boxing is her best striking attribute. Doesn't throw too many kicks. She's going in against the veteran at 115, Felice Herring. Felice Herring just came off of that flash submission against Kaylin Curran. It was like, what, 35 seconds? She got around the back submission. It was super, super fast. She had previously lost to Paige VanZant. One of the most overrated fighters I've ever talked about is Paige VanZant, and she got decisioned by a
pressure fighter. But you know what I have to say, though? Uh-huh. Paige in that fight looked like the best Paige I've ever seen.
Was it Herring making her look like the best Paige ever? Because then, both of them, it takes two to dance.
But see, then I feel like saying it's like looking at it in the same way. To me, I think Paige isn't the most overrated fighter ever, but Michelle Waterson made her look bad because Michelle Waterson's so underrated.
So did Rose, though. She was a 2-1 favorite for over Rose Namajunas. Remember when we made money on that? Yeah, that shouldn't have happened. Remember when we made money on
Rose,
that?
Rose, to me...
That's hype train specifically.
Like, if I were going to rank the UFC just by what I'm looking at, Rose is like 4. Behind Claudia, Michelle, and JJ.
I like that.
That would be my ish. I feel like, to me, Felice Herring has more skill set, actually, than... I totally agree.
I like this.
Felice Herring has more skill set than Paige. Paige has a harder punch. I think Felice can't take a punch. So if you already take that off, we know Grasso can throw a punch. So right there, I think Felice Herring gets rinsed. I think she buckles. I think it's one of those. I think she goes down Matt Brown style. Not to a body shot, to a face shot. Misha Tate style in the Nunes fight.
Yeah. She quits. She takes a punch and says, no, thank you anymore.
Dunzo.
I like that because we know Grasso throws heavy punches. And they're not heavy because she's big and throws with wicked intent. It's that they're so accurate and precise that she hurts women with shots that don't look too powerful, but they're ultra accurate, and it's a testament to her boxing and her boxing coaches. She also has another fighter at 135 who just lost recently, Aldana, who's out of the same gym, but she has good training partners. I feel like they train at altitude. She's so young. They're both, anybody coming out of that gym, I would say pay attention to, because their fundamentals, you can see their fundamentals are solid.
You know what we saw with the Cruz solid. Garbrandt, we talk about it all the time on this show, that new breed of fighter. When yes. you look at this fight, yep. this is, you're about to see somebody who is the old yep. MMA that's right. about to get washed away by that new breed right. of fighter. And Felice Herring, she's 32 years old.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in and there she against had a 23-year-old or hungry 25-year-old.
Who's been putting women away.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a rough fight for her. I almost go round one finish. I think
I was Grasso thinking Grasso round one. I think she's
the pick of the night.
Yeah. I think I'm going to put Grasso heavy on my DK if I can. I think she's a little bit expensive, though. I really like Grasso a lot. I pretty much explained why Felice doesn't have good takedowns.
What's and Grasso's the good nickname?
I don't think she has one.
If I were making her nickname would be Smokin', and her name would be Alexa Smokin' Grasso.
I like that. Hashtag Alexis Grasso. Listen to that.
Alexa Smokin' Grasso. If you don't have a nickname, Smokin'.
She's working on, Alexis Grasso's working on her English as well. I think that whole camp is, and I'm just like, she's going to be a future star. She may not be a champ, but she will be a contender by the end of 2017, because she's got JJ ahead of her. And what I don't want to see for her is
a rush.
All of a sudden, that's she gets JJ and two more. Let her get experience. She needs ring time.
Ngannou, let him get experience. Yes. But you know, this is the weird part about it, is I said the same thing about Cody Garbrandt.
Agree. That's a great point.
I was like, just give him some time to get fill out his skin. Give him a minute, and then it's like, whoa, this new breed of fighter might be eating.
Yeah, Grasso's been training to fight JJ since she's got in.
Ronda Rousey. We're seeing all these older that 32, 33 year old. It's just not what it used to be because these kids are growing up now, watching next level.
So they're training for the next level, yeah. All this stuff. And if I was a kid, I'd be doing all that stuff with my brothers for sure. I'd be practicing all those kicks, the Showtime kick, all those fence kicks, all that. And I did for a point in time, and it's fun. And you emulate what you watch. So every time you see something flashy, Ezekiel choke, guess what you're going to see people trying? Ezekiel chokes from now on. Like, yeah. It all works. It all works.
And then the reminder, I think it's a great thing, a testament is, you know, we watch Ronda the champ forever. Every single woman in the division trains for the armbar. That's the one thing they aren't worried about anymore is the armbar. The one thing everyone trains for is that armbar. So now we have a new champion. She comes in. She's standing and punching. She's murking everyone. So now everyone's trying to figure out how to deal with that. They forget now about the armbar. They're so busy with this forward pressure fighter. We forget about the original move that everyone was scared of. And these new kids are growing up watching all these moves, and they're getting them all down. It's so great. Football, how much faster can a catch get to the end zone? How much higher can the scores get? How many more records can be broken in all these other sports? Yeah. Fighting is, and I was somebody who was anti-fighting. So now I just am like, whoa, this is the next level.
This is fighting, but it's also a competitive sport. And I think that there's honor in it. And some people really do take the honor route of it. And I really love that. But I also do believe that there needs to be heels. I love some of those wrestling-based kind of promotions that some of these guys do with all the calling out and all that. Like, it's fun. It makes the fight more interesting. But don't go boxing. Don't do boxing where you start to get in a fight in every press conference.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't trash it up, because it's a thin line we're walking with the public.
Well, I just think it has to be real, or the public sees through it.
I agree.
The bullshit has to be real.
But that's why we love Cormier Jones. Because it's, yes, real. It's so real.
Or even Connor. He's real.
He brings it real and he makes people get into
it. Diaz. It's why we love the Diaz brothers. They're real. We are embarrassed and uncomfortable with Weidman and with Cormier when they try to be a heel.
Yeah.
Because they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, man. How do you feel about Brothwell? Because he's trying the heel role by doing like the weird walk-offs and
stuff. Yeah, I don't think he needs...
He's just goofy. He's just goofy.
It's corny. It looks corny. I think Ronda... Poor guy. It's hard for the women to be a heel. I think Ronda was a natural heel for the women's division. If Holly came out and was a heel tomorrow, it wouldn't make any sense. But I think Amanda Nunes got to see that twisted side of what happened because she's not a natural heel. Uh-huh. She seems like a very nice person with a lot of class. And so when she tried to heel it up with the Ronda thing after their fight was over, I think she lost fans from that. I think it has to be a genuine thing for... I think the best thing to happen for Cyborg in the last 2 weeks was the Tony Hinchcliffe little... thing on Twitter because it made her seem likable. That the joke back and forth and her joking back with him about herself
makes her human.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself if you want people can laugh with you. Charlie Sheen could get fans again. People can laugh with you if you don't avoid it. Look at Chael. He's a perfect example. If you don't avoid it and just own up to whatever it is that the issue may be, then you know,
great advice from Lesbo and the Bean.
That is, anyways.
Moving on to the main event. Main event. This is an FS1 card.
I cannot believe this is the main event. I was thinking, how many more fights do we have to go through? This seems like a Fight Pass main event.
It's a six card main event, and it is not the best card. I think that we're going to see some highlights. We're going to see some people like Grasso, Angela Hill.
All the people that were bitching about last week's card.
Yeah.
This makes the last week's card look like a pay-per-view.
I would agree with that 100%. This is a way tougher fight, but we're going to also see Dennis Bermudez, I feel like, shine in this.
He needs to. I agree with
you. The Korean Zombie at 145. Korean Zombie had to take a hiatus for 2 years off of his last loss, TKO, against Jose Aldo for the championship. But if you remember correctly, he... was TKO'd because his shoulder came out of the socket, and then Jose Aldo kept kicking him in the shoulder until the ref saw it and called the fight.
Yeah.
That isn't something you get better from. Your shoulder dislocating out of its socket.
And if
that's shoulder issues.
If the Chael fight is any indication of how long you can spend out of the ring... Ring rust is real. Once you get past 2 years, that your joints and muscles and shit like that, they might as well be rusted shut.
Well, we don't know because he was picked up by his local government. He had to do his national duty for South Korea.
Went to the military.
Was he practicing MMA for 2 years? Or was he practicing military drills?
Well, the other thing I have to say about this fight is... I think there is a Korean Zombie spirit that exists. I do think South Korea, there's this zombie spirit that exists with Korean fighters. And I think it has left Chang Sung Jung. And I think that spirit exists in one man now. And
Choi.
It's Doo-ho.
I would say there's a couple, but I'd say that the reason that the whole even South Korea scene came up was because... of the Korean Zombie.
It's just
zombie.
Been too long.
He was the first one.
Bermudez is... He's been on a mad tear. He's looked good in his last fights.
Yep.
I just don't think... It's like you don't come out of this big of a gap in your career and go up against a guy like Dennis Bermudez. I think this isn't an easy... They're not doing the Korean Zombie any favors
any
in this
favors
fight.
I just think
ring rust is real. I think Bermudez is at the top of his game right now. So I just don't see this going well. And I know... a lot of people love the Korean Zombie. He hasn't been around since I've really been watching UFC.
Yeah, he's been out for a long time. He beat Dustin Poirier when he was a greenhorn. It was one of the upsets of the year. Prior to that, he lost to a TKO to George Roop. He had one of the fight of the years a few years ago against Leonard Garcia, who's now completely retired from the sport. And he had almost two fights of the year with him. But if you really look back at the caliber and style of fighter who's a Donald Cerrone disciple, Leonard Garcia, he really wasn't the best MMA fighter. It was just the lack of fighters at the time. The sport's evolved past, I feel like, Jung Sung, even though he's only 29 years old. But Bermudez has looked really good. Honey Jason is no slouch. He just beat him in a decision. He beat Kei Jawari, who nobody's calling out that Japanese Kei Jawari fighter out. That dude is a bust. great ground game. Bermudez, I think, kept it standing and just
picked them apart. What was Bermudez's last loss?
Last loss was to Jeremy Stephens, TKO. Respectable for anyone. And he got pulled into a firefight.
That was Jeremy Stephens. He looked Jeremy Stephens at his best during that fight. Jeremy he hasn't looked like that since his last two fight. I mean, he's gone against monsters because of that fight. Yeah, Jeremy Stephens looked so good in that fucking fight.
Jeremy Stephens, what he did was he was able to coerce Dennis Bermudez.
If you don't know who we're talking about.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that guy? Jeremy
fucking Stephens. That's who. Dennis Bermudez got trapped into a firefight and obliged. If Dennis Bermudez would have kept a technical takedown, technical boxing fight that we know that Dennis Bermudez can execute, he would have won a decision in that fight. But he chose to bite down on his mouthpiece. Jeremy Stephens does have the type of power to shut out your lights.
Yeah.
And they both hurt each other multiple times. I feel like it was a candidate for fight of the year over 2 years ago now. He also lost prior to that to Ricardo Lamas, which I don't care who you are, not respectable. You don't lose any respect for losing to either one of those fighters. He's come back and beat again Cage Warrior.
No, especially Ricardo Lamas over 2 years ago.
And when Ricardo Lamas was looking way better. Doesn't look bad now, but yeah, I think pretty easy round one or two finish I see for Dennis Bermudez. I agree with you. I just feel like it's going to be a BJ Penn style of main event where Korean Zombie's going to say, whoa, these guys have taken it leaps and bounds further than I ever did. But he could surprise me and been training MMA for 2 years in the military. There is a new set of Korean fighters that are coming out that are looking good. He has the skills, but when your shoulder pops out, when you throw punches and kicks, you don't get better for that, especially with age coming. You don't get any better with that. That's major shoulder surgery stuff. I've had friends that have that can't play badminton because their shoulder will pop out of its socket, let alone throw a hard punch.
This fight, I can't. It's Super Bowl weekend this weekend.
What are we bringing that up for? Who cares about Super Bowl?
Well, because this card
Is it going to take up potential media from it for Saturday?
Well, I think this card could be on earlier and it would get more viewers.
I agree because it's going to finish, around midnight now?
Yeah, now people are going to want to turn it up for Super Bowl Sunday. So if the UFC is planning around it, I just think they could do something a little wiser than this card. Maybe this would be your freak show card.
This would be super fights only?
Yeah, where you just put on the weird...
Like Anderson Silva or someone. Yeah, or
even the weird... you have a... What's that wrestler? The CM Punk...
He comes on, yeah, but he can't main event it, right?
Card. Or just put a CM Punk card. Who cares? Yeah. Even if he's the second one on co-main this card, event. It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I'd agree with it that. He would bring the eyes of...
I just feel like people are sitting around almost like waiting for Christmas or Thanksgiving before Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't want to go out and turn it up Saturday night because you don't want to be twisted 2 days in a row or be hungover. It's like an American holiday.
Put on
a freak show fight. That'll make people... You already have it on FS1. CM Punk would make people turn over.
Yeah,
and make
really,
those wrestling fans. There's nothing going on in wrestling.
I really don't like
an untested... Put Brock and CM Punk on the same card.
Brock wouldn't do an FS card, though. He'd do pay-per-view only because of the money kickbacks. Unless they had cut
do
up
a
something.
Do a Brock pay-per-view card on...
That might be tough, though, because I could see people spending their money
I just
money
don't on... care about Brock Lesnar at all. So I'm like, if you're just going to throw that shit all on a card at that Super Bowl... I'm just looking at this card. Uh-huh. And I don't know if the UFC is... Are they spinning their wheels because of the lack of Connors and Rouseys? Like, what is going on? I don't know if they're trying to pad some cards, but even that Holly Holmes GDR fight coming up is a weird main event for a pay-per-view.
I love that fight, though. I honestly love that fight, but I think that the Iron Lady is so incredibly underrated. If you haven't heard the Howard Stern Show
Holy
or the
shit,
after show... Oh, my goodness.
No, it's the Howard Stern Show, and there's a prank call that they do... where they use clips from another part of the show and they call some podcast, but GDR's the...
GDR, Jermaine Durandami, is on this podcast and they start asking questions that they would ask a juggalo. And I don't want to taint our podcast with what they say, but you got to get to it. And it
I would taint it. If I could pull it up right now, I'd pull it up
and
play it for
quote,
you guys.
Quote for quote, right? Because it
is
gold.
So funny.
It's so funny.
She answers the first couple of questions like they're real.
Yeah.
Like, and then they're like... yeah, you guys have to pull it up. There's got to be a way to find it or listen to Howard Stern on Sirius. A little free plug, Sirius. And if you need a new MMA show, you can hit up Lesbo and the Bean.
Right. You can also hit us up on Twitter And we also
follow us at Lesbo and the Bean on Twitter.
We also have a Gmail if you have any questions for us.
And we're kind of reintroducing ourselves to all the people that are going to find us for the first time on iTunes. We just kind of went right into the fights. I'm Lesbo.
I am the Bean.
And I am a lesbian, if the name doesn't give it away already. And the Bean is for Mexican, so...
Oh, I was going to say I was a legume.
Legume.
I was a legume. No, yes.
Mexican-American. His heritage is Mexican.
My heritage is Mexican. I am 100% American. But, yeah. I can come in some insights.
He's been watching UFC forever.
Watched it since I was a kid on VHS at the Blockbusters, getting those tapes and practicing with my evil twin brother and other brothers. We would practice MMA. I wrestled for a long time. Did the military. Even had MMA fight, an amateur fight back in Portland, Oregon for Chael Sonnen's FCFF. So, been watching the sport, love it, love to break it down. We would be talking about these fights regardless of the podcast, so we just kind of figured, let's put some mics on and see what happens, and we've had a pretty good response. I think that we've put out really good free bets, and we've had people cashing in for free, and we just enjoy the ride. Come along with us.
Yeah, so subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Lesbo and the Bean. If you want to check out any of our old shows on Bumpers FM, you can feel free to do that. If you don't want to, don't worry about it. We're going to be putting out a bunch of new broadcasts on here, I guess. Broadcast, podcast, that's the term of it.